Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
Greg Allen, thank you very much indeed. Minister Charlie McConlough has got you going for sure on reducing portion size. That's what he's calling for restaurants and hotels to do. The listener says, I agree. I'm constantly getting too big a portion of some foods, never get enough veg, and always too many sachets of butter and sauces. The minister is correct, says this listener. I often see people who've had starters pushing their main course around their plates as they're too full to eat it. I can't understand why people have starters if they then can't eat or finish their mains. He's right, get a small amount and ask for more if need be, says that listener. And one more, a reduction in portion sizes has put me off certain restaurants. Prices have increased and portion size has gone down. It will put people off eating out even more. It did strike me, as the minister was talking, if restaurants could reduce portion sizes, I wonder, could prices go down accordingly? It might entice more people out if prices fell as well, even though the portion has gotten smaller. Anyway, 51551. Let me tell you, across the water, France, the Prime Minister of France has is going to resign, she says, just after less than 2 years in the job. I think there's Emmanuel Macron planning a reshuffle, so that possibly is precipitating that one. We'll keep an eye on it. But let me tell you, last week's discussion on this programme about the rise in the number of electric vehicles that were sold here last year, we got an absolutely huge amount of questions about electric vehicles and all the pros and cons associated with them after that conversation. So today we've asked Matthew Seely, who's chair of the Irish Electric Vehicles Association, to come in to us and answer some of your queries. And he joins me now from our studio in Limerick. Matthew, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Let me clarify one thing first before you begin, because people will ask this without question on 51551. You're not an industry rep. You're just an enthusiast of sorts. Is that right?
I am, and we are. We are, as an Irish EV Association, we are a not-for-profit charity. We are independent of everybody that exists within the entities that's there. So from charge point operators, market service providers, the county council, ZEVI, which is the government, we are independent to all of them. We aim to represent the EV owners and users.
Okay, so that's the clarification disclaimer out of the way, right?
Yes.
Are you ready for a barrage of questions about electric vehicles?
Let's go for it.
51551, you still have time. People have queries about the range, so about battery life as well, and they're worried if they buy an electric vehicle, they won't be able to make that long journey.
Yeah, which can be valid depending on the vehicle. So we'll say, as we look at a battery, you're talking about kilowatt hours. That is the size of your battery. That's how much charge is in it. Kilowatts is how much energy you would use. And that is effectively how fast you're going to use that energy that is in that battery. So depending on how far you need to go and the size of your battery, that will depend on, you know, whether you need to fast charge, whether you need to slow charge, and what you need to do as you make your journey throughout the country.
And that's, some people worry about where they can charge as well. Is there any sign that the charging point network will improve anytime soon, is one question.
It will. So I suppose the way to look at it at this point is it has appeared to be very slow, and we would agree that it is very slow and there isn't enough out there. When we look at what's coming in the near-term future over the next 18 to 24 months, as I would describe it, is, and less, the AFER directive has come into law, which is an EU regulation that's come in that says how many charge points we need to have in this country. So when you talk about travelling intercity, for argument's sake, there is a number of charge points along these routes, and what is available is not really enough for what should be there. AFER is approximately a 300% increase that has to go in over the next 2 years. That's been forced upon us by EU, and that's what I see in a lot of my conversations, and we see in our conversations that go on with the charge point operators as where they're targeted.
And where are they going to be distributed equally is another question, these charge points, because one texter said last week that there were 10 high-powered charging points in Kinnegad, but only one in Mullingar.
Yep. So we do see an uneven distribution as to what goes on with the charge point network at this point in time. Part of that is related to the fact that when charge point operators are trying to put in these charge points, they come to a situation where they're looking to put them in, and they are looking at the the network, the grid that exists currently, mm-hmm. what is available and what's going to come to them. So when they put in an application to ESP Networks, it's anywhere from 18 to 24 months between when they put in the application and when it goes live. So it's quite a long timeline on their side from when they start to get it out there. And with that, if it needs an upgrade, that needs to be thought about as well. So okay. we've seen to date where charge points have gone in, it's kind of been, I'd use the term, easy pickings, because they've gone in where they have the availability to put in these charge points.
Okay, but you say that has to change as well. Should there be more transparency, Matthew, about range? For instance, if you're told a car can do 500 kilometres on a charge, should the person selling it to you say that that distance will be lower if you're using lights or heat or if it's cold outside?
So lights don't have an impact. Heat can have an impact. So heating and cooling, you know, you're heating up in wintertime, cooling down in summertime does have an impact. It is very small in the grand scheme of things of most normal EVs and their battery size. But it's not to say that it is none. Mm-hmm. It does have an impact. Do they need to be more honest? Yes, we would like to say that. When you go to buy your car, you're told the real world range. The advice we always give is if you're looking at an EV, there is a website called evdatabase.org that has all of the EVs that are out there, and it gives a summer and winter range at a number of driving speeds. And that is the best place to find the information in terms of what the EV that you are looking at in particular to have the information on.
Okay. Some people were shocked at what Adrian Weckler was talking about in The Independent last week or writing about. He says, and this is about depreciation. Adrian's own Volkswagen, he said, had lost about 16 grand in value in just 1 year. So explain EV depreciation to us then.
Well, I suppose it's a focus on EV is because of where we are and what we're looking at. I would say from my own interest in what goes on with cars in general, it's not just EVs. We're seeing it across the board in petrol and diesel. I would say in the UK, there's a huge downturn at the minute in the second-hand market as well over there. And that is everything. It's not just petrol, diesel or EV. So everything has been impacted.
But is there a similar depreciation for petrol and diesel cars?
There is. I've seen one comment today in one of our groups where somebody had lost between 15 and 20,000 on their petrol plug-in hybrid, if I'm not mistaken. But they were talking about a not fully EV or not even an EV where they had lost significant money in about 12 to 18 months.
Okay. That rise in EV sales last year that we were talking about, Matthew, up to 40% on the year before, was all new cars, because apparently the second-hand market is so small that it's basically negligible. Why is that still the case, some people ask?
It is the case because if you look back statistically on the figures over the last 10 years, the number of EVs sold has been very low. So when you try to tap into a second-hand market, you're looking at a very small number to begin with. And this is probably the first year going on where you would say 3 years ago, when people bought a car on PCP, as an example, that it is now going to start to come into the second-hand market. And it's only 3 years ago where things started to pick up in reasonable numbers that you would say that they're starting to get to a point where you can actually pick up a second-hand EV and the supply is there. Mm-hmm. So it's a fair argument. The supply in second-hand market has not been there. But it's only now that it's going to start to get there from now on, it's going to get better.
Okay, so the only way is up, you say.
Yes.
I have about a minute and a half left. So let's rattle through as many questions as we can.
Okay.
51551 if you still have more. Now is the worst time to buy an EV, says one listener, because the technology is changing very fast, especially over the next few years. Your response?
Not changing that drastically. EVs typically are in the forefront on the tech that's within the vehicle. Battery technology within the car themselves, so lithium ion is not going to change drastically. Anything that is coming from a battery perspective is making it cheaper, and or if it is a different chemistry, it is to make it more environmentally friendly or to make it cheaper.
It better make it cheaper, because one listener says the price of battery scares a lot of people.
Yes.
Replacement battery prices are crazy. I have a 2016 Nissan Leaf and it was quoted 19,500 plus VAT and labour.
Yep, we've seen the same, and we've seen it in one or two occasions. Partly that is because you take certain OEMs don't want to go into the battery pack itself and replace the module. So what you'll actually find is it's not the full battery pack. It's a module which is part of it. It could be one of 12 modules, or it could even be battery cells within that module that are gone wrong. The OEMs typically don't want to do that. I know of one example of an individual I was talking to who had the same quote.
Mm-hmm.
They managed to get the module replaced from from Nissan. Again, a Nissan Leaf. It's the only second one I've come across in recent times, for about €2,500.
Oh, cripes. Let me know how you're getting on, if you're getting a replacement battery. 51551. Another thing, people are saying the environmental messaging around EVs, Matthew. Well, they're being pitched as carbon neutral. The reality, some people say, is that you'd have to do a huge amount of mileage before you'd have even offset the carbon footprint of making the car in the first place. What is your argument there?
So typically what we're seeing in the, and I've done the research myself as well and gone into it, you know, if a car itself, the body, petrol or diesel or EV, it takes about 10 tonnes. Your battery is going to be anywhere of upwards of 7 tonnes of CO2. They can be made less and they are being made less depending on where you go in the world to get it done. With the Irish grid and the way our CO2 per kilowatt hour and our generation comes, as we look at our typical EV in Ireland, you're looking at about 50,000 kilometres for that worst case scenario of 7 tonnes in the worst case, you know, kilograms of CO2 per kilowatt hour produced. So actual fact that it's about 50,000 kilometres to offset the battery production to what would have been the equivalent petrol or diesel.
Okay,
vehicle.
So the question, I suppose you're making a good argument, but in some people's minds, maybe they say, is this the right course then to buy an EV? Because the listener says, I'm back from a driving holiday in France where nearly every petrol station was selling biofuel at 80 cents per litre. This is the direction we should be going in, particularly if we're talking about creating a circular economy. It costs very little to convert your car to take biofuel. Is he or she right?
I suppose hard to argue. I haven't got enough understanding in the biofuels perspective, but I suppose when we look at it, you would have to look at it from A, the environmental impact of how much energy is used to produce it, and whether, you know, when we look at something like renewable fuels, is it an alternative means to do it versus electrification?
Well,
possible?
if you can convert your car cheaply, and
possibly,
if it's,
you know,
well, we'll look into that one ourselves for sure. One more: some people have a huge issue with having to pay for parking at charging points. That it feels like being charged double. They say, is that something that should be addressed? You've come across that?
Typically, you see that when you're talking about somebody at a slow charge point, which is your lower AC charging where you're there for a number of hours, and in our cities, that is a county council decision. That's something that, you know, when you talk about where I am here in Limerick, the Limerick County Council made the decision that they would give 4 hours free parking while you're charging. So you don't pay for the first 4 hours while you're charging. That depends on where you are. It's a nice incentive. It is something we would like to see, because it incentivizes people to go in that direction and it helps them to go in that direction.
The producer is telling me to keep going because such is the interest in this. Let's hope I have battery life left in me to keep going here.
Good.
A listener says, I'm devastated to hear you can't put either a tow bar or even a bike rack on an EV. Very upset, not very green, and has made me rethink saving up for one.
So that goes down to specific vehicles. We'll take a Nissan Leaf, can fit a tow bar. If I'm not mistaken, you can get one from Nissan themselves, but the vehicle itself is not rated for towing. Two different things. So you can put on a tow bar, use your bike carrier and use it that way. If you were to attach a trailer to it and pull it a trailer with your vehicle, then obviously that's a different issue because it's not rated to tow. That was done as a kind of safety precaution, I suppose, from battery life and warranty, etc., I suppose, from the OEMs at the time. But again, I go back to evdatabase.org. If you're looking at a vehicle that has towing capabilities, and, you know, if you look at a BMW iX, it's something like 2,500 kilos is what it can tow. Some of them can be 3,500 kilos. So there are fully electric vehicles that can tow quite considerable amounts.
So it depends on the vehicle. You're pelting on here at 100%. My little red light is flagging. So let me ask you one more. My neighbour took delivery today of a little petrol car, says this listener. Same time last year, a full EV. She loved the EV, but the EV anxiety nearly killed her. She also added that on long journeys, it cost 20 on top of charge for coffees, etc., where in her old car, the journey was as simple A to B.
Yes.
Self-discipline, woman. But I mean, that is, I would fall foul of that. I must say, you have to charge your EV and you go in for the coffee and maybe the scone or a pastry, and there you go.
Yep, you do. Is it a fact of life with EV? Maybe not. If you if you have enough range, you don't have to have that issue. But yeah, like my own EV, I end up having to charge when I go on longer journeys. I have a large EV van, is what I drive day to day. So like I see the fact that when I pull in, I end up with a cup of coffee and probably something else to go with it. So yeah, it does happen.
You can go for a run. Okay, look, thank you very much indeed. You've answered very well. The questions are still coming in. We'll try and come back to some of the questions I couldn't answer there in relation to the biofuel, for example. But Matthew Seeley, Chair of the Irish Electric Vehicles Association, Míle Buíochas Leat.